Why don't you just go ahead and bow your head, put your hand on your heart, and we'll just pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be here with one another. I know even this morning, Lord, there's places all around the world where people cannot openly and freely come to worship. Lord God, there's restriction and there's persecution all over the place. But Father, we're just so fortunate to be in a place called Canada where we can freely come to worship. We can freely express our faith. So Father, we look forward this morning as we look into your word, as we pray, as we connect with one another, Lord. We look forward to what you have to say to us. And Lord, I realize that this week maybe people had the best news ever. This week maybe some people had the worst news ever. Maybe this week people are soaring on top. Maybe this week, Lord God, people feel like life's overwhelming them and they're somewhere in the bottom. Father, I thank you that you're in control. Whether we're on top of the mountain, at the bottom of the mountain, or somewhere in the middle, Father, I thank you that you're aware of every one of our situations. You're aware of every one of our needs. You're aware of our unique scenario, Father. So, Father, this morning, you're aware of every unique scenario. If you're here this morning and that's you, I just want you to think about the scenario you're going through. And understand this, God knows about it. He has a plan. He has a solution. And remember this, you are exactly where you're supposed to be in life. Don't stress. Don't pressure yourself. Understand that God can work all things together for your good. Everyone, look up at me. You know, that's a powerful verse of Scripture. It says no matter what you're going through, God can work it for good. So whether it's really good, well, God can make it better. If it's not so good, well, God can even turn that around. Can we give the singers and musicians a big hand? Thank you so much. Go ahead and take your seat. My name is Randy, along with my wife Rachel. We are the City Pastors of United Niagara. It's so good for you to be here today, I hope, but I'm happy to be here. I need to take a moment and introduce a couple special guests. Is that okay? My mom and dad are here all the way from Saskatchewan. Mom and dad, can you please stand up? Yes. Thank you. Go ahead. Now, you may never know it, but they gave birth to 12 children. My God, that deserves another clap, I think. If you know my siblings, you would, like, pray for them every day of your life. No, they're good. Here we go. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 10. We are in the middle of a series that I think has just been really, really good. And I think anytime you look into the Bible, you can find something really, really good. But this particular series is titled I Am. And seven times in the book of John, the author, the Apostle John, he makes these seven statements about Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. So as a church, we're journeying through these I am statements. So it's been interesting. It's been insightful. But just a little bit of a recap, because this is sermon number four. The first one we talked about when Jesus made this, or Paul said, Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. You know, that's a whole teaching, but here's the Coles Notes version. Make sure what you're feeding on in life has the capacity to sustain you and nourish you. Because many times in life, we pursue things, we go after things, and we say, oh, if I can only achieve this, this is the thing that's going to make my life significant. I'm going to be full when I get there. And listen, we're all goal-oriented people. We all have dreams. We all have plans. That's awesome. I'm not telling you to forego your dream, but I'm saying make sure it's the dream that God has placed in your heart. Because I'll tell you this, any other dream you can probably achieve. Here's a little note, a little nugget for you. When the dream is from God, you need his help to achieve it. But I'll tell you, it's a dream that'll fuel you. It's a dream that'll excite you. The second sermon, which Scott shared for us, was this. I am the light of the world. This is Jesus says. He says, I am the light of the world. So we say this. When you're in darkness, what do you need? Some light. So maybe you're going through a stage in life or a place in life where you're not sure where to go. you're not sure of the next step, don't sweat it. Turn the light on. Who's the light? Jesus is the light. So that was number two. Number three, we talked about this, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So remember this. Some things in our life have died. And we don't like to talk about death. Death is painful. Death hurts. Maybe it's been a physical death. But maybe it's been a death of your dream. Have you ever had a dream die? Come on, just wave at me. See, that's painful. Have you ever had hope die? That hurts. Have you ever thought, man, I'm going to just do this, and the whole thing falls apart before your face? That's death. But then we talked about Jesus being the resurrection and the life. So remember this. In order to experience the resurrection life, here's the Coles Notes version, we have to experience death. And I know we don't like to talk about that. That's not popular, but that's the beauty. So if you've experienced death in your life and you choose the area, relationships, finances, health, whatever it is, you're a prime candidate for some resurrection life. So today, we're going to talk about something, this statement, and it's kind of a crazy statement. Are you ready for the crazy statement that Jesus says? He says, I am the door of the sheepfold. So when you think about that, you think, what does that mean? I have to ask a question. Is anybody in here a sheep herder? Well, one person is, Amanda, you're a sheep herder. My God, I was certain nobody would be a sheep herder. Well, Amanda's a sheep herder. Well, there you go. The rest of us are not sheep herders. So if you're a sheep herder, you would have a bit better perspective. So we have to kind of look at what this is talking about. So if we understand this and we look at this, if we're in John chapter 10, verse 1, it says this, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Let me say this about being a sheep herder and being a gatekeeper to a sheep herd. Because Jesus says, he says, I am the gate to the sheep pen. Well, we're going to look at two types of sheep pens. The first type is what we would call a city sheep pen. Now, this would be in a metropolis city. And what would happen is, you know, if Scott was a sheep herder and Blair was a sheep herder, and I got to get a woman in there, if Angela was a sheep herder, we're not sexist in our church. Angela, you could be a sheep herder just as much. So let's say all three of them had their little, what would you call it? What do you call a group of sheep? Is it a herd? A flock of sheep. Thank you, Rachel. So you'd have your own flock of sheep. So if you were in a city, and let's say you were transitioning from one pasture land to the other pasture land, and the journey took you through a big city, well, what they would have is a city sheep pen. So it would be huge. And then at night, you know, Scott, Blair, and Angela, they would lead their sheep into the pen. Then they would leave them in the pen, and they would walk out the same door. Now, at that particular gate, there would be somebody called a porter, and his job was this, protect the sheep. So there was one way in and one way out, and there was a gate. So he would literally stand at the gate, and what would he be looking for? Well, he'd be looking for someone maybe who decided that he really liked Scott's sheep. So I'm going to go steal his sheep. So he would be protecting against thieves and robbers or wild animals or anything that would come and do harm to the sheep. The second thing he would do in the morning, he would open the gate and let all the shepherds come back in to get their sheep. Now, there's a second type of sheepfold or sheep pen. And this one was a bit different. Let's say you had your sheep out in pasture. Now, we understand when you're out in pasture, you're susceptible to whatever's out in the pasture with you. So if there were wild animals, if there were wolves and coyotes or bears or whatever might be interested in your little sheep, you had to have a system or a place to protect your sheep. So when you're out in the countryside, now this is where it gets really interesting, so just stay with me for these few minutes. When you're out in the countryside, people, all the other shepherds had collectively come together and would build small little sheep pens. And basically, this is what the sheep pen would look like. It would be rocks stacked on top of one another in a circle to create a wall. But there was no gate. There was just an opening. So at night, the shepherd would do this. He would lay his body across the opening. Now, why would he lay his body across the opening? To protect what's inside. So the shepherd would actually lay down his life for his sheep. So if some wild animal, if someone was trying to come steal those sheep, guess what? They'd have to go through the shepherd. And you know why that shepherd has his little pole with him and his little stick? It's not just a little walking stick. He uses it if he needs to. And he'd whack a little wolf on the head or something like that. Or, you know, if he has to poke somebody away. So that's the idea. So now, when Jesus makes this statement, he says, I am the gate of the sheepfold. I hope you see a bit bigger picture. So we're going to dig into this a little bit. Let's keep reading from verse 2. John chapter 10, verse 2. Then he says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The keeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Verse 4. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 5. But they will never follow a stranger. This is so cool. There's a whole, can I just pause for a moment? There's an entire teaching here, which we're going to get into, not today, on really the structure of what a pastor and a leader is in a church. It's powerful. So we're gonna hold off for that. But when I read that, I want to dig into it, but I got to just resist myself. Verse 5 says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus giving this picture, and the Pharisees, now who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees are the people who were just very aware of the law. They were very aware of what you and I had to do to make God happy so we could get blessed. So the Pharisees couldn't get this picture. Where was I? Verse 6. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Verse 7. Therefore, Jesus, again, very, very truly, he says, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Verse 9, he says, I am the gate. Now, this is really where we're going to park for the remainder of the morning. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. In this verse we just read, especially in verse 9, it says, Jesus says this. He says, whoever enters through me will be saved. So now you got to keep the image because, again, when we read the Bible, can I tell you the one tricky part about reading the Bible? Much of the Bible is imagery. So it's kind of like the way you and I talk. If I say, wow, you know, crazy thing happened at home the other day. A pink elephant walked down the street. Now, you know a pink elephant didn't walk down my street. But what did you just see in your mind? You just saw a pink elephant walking down a street. Because words are pictures. So in the Bible, Jesus, he knows this, so he uses stories, he uses parables. So it's our job to sort of dig open or pull apart the story or the parable and look for the truth within it. So keep the picture of this nice brick wall in a big circle, maybe no bigger than where the chairs are here. And this big brick wall, and then there's an opening, and then there's a shepherd lying across. So keep that image in your mind, and let's read verse 9 again. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and they will come in and go out and find pasture. What's the first thing we realize here? The first thing we realize is Jesus is calling you and I sheep. So we're sheep. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look woolly. Some of us are hotter than others. That's why I'm hot all the time. I just figured it out. My goodness. Here we go. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And they will come in and go out and find pasture. So here's the thing. He says, whoever enters through me. You know what I love about this verse? Jesus could have said anything. He could have said, I'm the mountain that must be scaled in order for you to find salvation. He could have said, I'm the ocean that needs to be swam across in order for you to find safety. He didn't say that. He says, I'm the gate.
Do you know how beautiful that is? Because a gate is meant to be swung in and out. A gate is meant to be used and accessed. A gate is actually easy to walk through. Do you know it's harder to go through a door than a gate? Because the gate that we're picturing is on a hinge. There's no lock. See, it was just an opening and Jesus lying across. Isn't that interesting? So when we look at this, we have to sort of grab these pictures and images. So I'm thankful that he calls himself a gate. And I love where he says this in verse 9. He says, I am the gate. And then he says this, whoever. Come on, just say whoever. Well, who does that mean? Whoever. Whoever means whoever. So that means if you and I are standing outside the gate, I would be a whoever. If Dawn is standing outside the gate, she would be a whoever. So Jesus says this. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So what does this really mean? It means this. If you're at the gate, you're welcome to come in. This is what Jesus is saying through this story. So whatever it is, come on in. Now, I have to deviate from my message a little bit to get into our hearts. Because when I just say, well, you're at the gate, Jesus is the gate, and whoever wants to come in, come in. You know, it sounds so nice, and it sounds so simple, and it really is nice, and it really is simple. But something happens when we're at the gate. Something happens inside of us when we're at the gate. There's a process at work in us. And I would say two things are at work in you all the time. Are you ready? If you're a note taker, this is worth writing down. There is two things at work in you all the time. Grace or law. Now, what do I mean? I promise you I could spend the next year every Sunday talking about those two words. I'm not going to, so I'm going to give you the extreme broken down version of what it means to be grace and law. So the law, we could say the law is the Ten Commandments. How many people are familiar with the Ten Commandments? Say, okay, there we go. Well, now, the truth is, on top of the Ten Commandments, there were like 360-some-odd other laws that you're actually supposed to follow. So, well, that's a little side note. So, the law says this. If I keep the law, God will do good for me. If I don't keep the law, I don't get good from God. That's as basic as I can say it. Grace says this, I get what I don't deserve. I did wrong, but I got good. Now, that's very important, and I'm telling you, I am the pastor of this church, and there's not a week that goes by that I don't struggle with that thought. There's not a week that goes by where I say, man, I deserve better. Oh, really? Since when? Why am I so good that I deserve better? Because if you look at me close enough, I tell you, I'm a mess. There's things in my life that shouldn't be in my life. So I can look and say, oh, but for the grace of God, where would I be? So this grace and law thing is always at war inside of us. It pulls us this way, and it pulls us this way. And we say, oh, but I did good. Things should work out for me. And then we say, why didn't it work out? You know what the greatest realization of grace is? When you can actually look yourself in the mirror and say this, God has been good to me, and I don't deserve it. See, that's a realization of grace. So I can't stay there any longer, so I'm going to give you a little story, a little picture. So go back in your mind. If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. If not, you can just keep them open. But picture the wall again. There's the brick wall. The stone wall, there's the opening, and then there's Jesus lying there, because this is what he says. He says, I am the gate. So picture this. Now picture you're coming up to the gate. What do you see? Well, you see Jesus lying there. And he says, I am the gate. He says, whosoever wants to come in, come in. You see, even as soon as we approach this, something begins to happen in us. I would suggest a minimum of three responses. I would say every human being would have at least maybe one or a mixture of the next three responses. You come to this gate, you see Jesus lying there, and you say, eh, it's not for me. And you go on your way. The next response is probably this. And I would say many of us fall into this next category. We come to the gate, we peek in, we say, oh, that looks safe, that looks good. But you know where we do what we do then? We begin to look at ourselves and we say, oh, I'm not clean like the rest of those sheep. I'm hopeless. I'm dirty. I'm a mess. I've been wandering around this wilderness for years. He doesn't really want me. And then without fail, some idiot will come whisper in your ear and say, you know what? If you clean yourself up, he'll let you in. Come on, go. Get rid of certain things in your life. He'll let you in. Just straighten out this. He'll let you in. Did he say that? No, he said, whosoever will, come. So the real picture that we see of Jesus is this. He's standing there like this. Come on. Big smile on his face, arms wide open, ready to welcome us in. But you see, what I just described to you is religion. Religion says, clean yourself first, then God will take you. Every religion, name the religion, you go to your own research. Every religion in the world is essentially the same thing. If I do good, I'm going to get good. If I can clean myself, God will accept me. If I can muster the moral energy, then, you know, I'll be a great role model. I loved what Rachel said last week. She said, you know, if I'm going to model Jesus, if I'm going to model anything or if I'm going to be a model for anything, I'm going to be a model for how much I need Jesus and his gospel. That's what I'm going to model, my need for the gospel. So again, that's category two. So category one, it's not for me. Category two, oh, I can't go in, I'm a mess. Category three, why would I go like this? That is weird, isn't it? I got to tell you a funny story. Can you take a funny story? I was teaching one time in church, and I was doing three things. And I said, number one. I swear I did that to the church. And I'm like, oh. It was crazy. It was natural. I think it was in my football days. I was used to like, see, I have a justification. See, that was a reason. All right, point three. The third response, and I believe the response that God wants every one of us to have is this. We come to the gate, we see Jesus, we see his open arms, and we realize we don't deserve to come in. Yet something inside of us compels us. Something inside of us draws us, and we take a step. And when we take a step, Jesus takes a step. And we take a step more, he takes a step more. And not only does he open the gate, but he welcomes us into the gate. He hugs us as we come through. And he's not worried if I stink, if I smell, if I'm a mess. He doesn't care because I'm in the gate. I'm in. I'm safe. I want to ask you a question. Let's say you were a shepherd. Now just picture this with me. Let's say you were the one at that gate. And all your sheep were in nice and safe. And you were like, yeah, this is good. My sheep are safe. It's a nice night. It's not going to rain on me. The sky is clear. It's nice weather. What would you do if you saw a stray sheep running around that wasn't yours? What would you do? Would you like, get out of here, sheep. Go find your shepherd. Now, none of us would do that. Do you know what we would do? We'd say, come on, buddy. Now, the hard part would be this. That sheep doesn't know your voice. It would be a struggle for you to get that sheep in because he doesn't know your... And here's the worst part. You would want to do everything you could to protect that sheep. Maybe you heard like, and you're like, buddy, get in the gate. There's bad stuff out there. This is where we find ourselves. This is what Jesus is doing all the time with every one of us. He's saying, come on, get in. You don't have to be a lone ranger. Come on, get inside. Come on. So he beckons us. He calls us. So how good would you feel as a shepherd if you could just irk that little sheep to come your way and you could just finally get him and throw him in? You'd feel good. You'd be like, oh, I saved that sheep. It's not like that sheep is, you're not trying to steal that sheep. You're trying to protect that sheep. See, I think sometimes when we think of church and we think of God and we think of the Bible, we can have a perspective like God is trying to steal something from my life. God's not trying to steal anything from your life. God's trying to give us life. Verse 10 says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So that's the beautiful thing. Religion always wants you to clean yourself up. Forget about it. It's not possible. So when Jesus makes the statement in verse 9, he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. What does he mean? Well, it means a couple things. And so I would say this next section, I'm going to end here, I promise. I'm going to be as quick as I can. I'm going to call the benefits of coming in. The benefits of accepting the invitation. The benefits of stepping across that threshold. The first benefit is this. He says this in verse 9. He says, I am the gate. Whosoever or whoever enters through me will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from striving. Saved from believing that if you just clean yourself up enough, God will accept you. Saved from my past mistakes. Saved from my wandering in the wilderness. Listen, if you're going to begin to look at the dirt in people's lives, you're never going to really be helpful to anybody. I don't know how else to say that. It's painful because it's easy to see dirt. How many people are aware when your car is dirty? It's the easiest thing in the world. You see your car is dirty. But when you see a clean car, you're like, oh. So it's easy to point out the dirty stuff. So this is what Jesus is saying. Don't worry about that. So what can we be saved from? Well, we can be saved from our past mistakes. We can be saved from our present striving and struggle of trying to please God. This isn't what God's up in heaven saying, now if I can just get Renata to obey me a little bit more. That's not his plan. You know what God's saying? He said, Renata, I just want Renata to know how much I love her. And the rest of us, of course. See, that's what he's up in heaven doing. That's what he's up in heaven calling us to. So what are the benefits of coming in, of coming across that threshold? We're saved from our past. We're saved from our present struggle, our present striving to try to find significance and satisfaction in our life. And not only that, but we're saved for an amazing future. We're saved for a journey with him. We're saved because we really realize that nothing happens by accident. You don't live here. You weren't born by accident. Nobody comes into this world by accident. The things that happened to your life were not an accident. And God is in the process of working all that together for your good. So that's the benefit of coming through. So when you talk about being saved, it's being saved from a lot of stuff. The second part, I would say this, is what is the benefit of coming into that sheepfold? Number one, you're saved. Number two, you feel safe. Safe. Do you know most people don't feel safe? Come on, you say, well, I live in a good neighborhood. I feel safe. That's good. Do you feel safe in your job? Do you feel safe in your relationships? Do you feel safe anywhere in life? You know what? I heard a statistic that most people will die and leave this earth without one person they can call a true friend. So how safe do we really feel if we don't even have one person in our life where we feel we can just be an open book to? We're not safe. We're not safe to express our opinion. We're not safe to express idea. We don't feel safe. You know, as you develop relationship, here's the development of relationship. Number one, you say, hey, hi, my name's Randy. What's your name? So we talk about simple things. The next stage in relationship development is we start to discuss. So, Ryan, what do you do? KK, what do you do? Oh, you're a hairdresser. Okay, perfect. Oh, I do this. So we talk about what we do. The next stage of relationship development, which is the risky stage. And the stage that most people really don't like to get into is this. What do you think? What do you feel? What are your thoughts about that? You see, in our church, we want that. So we say this in our church. We endeavor to build real, relevant relationships. So in our connect groups every week, we talk about stuff. We want to know what you think. If this message sucks, I want you to tell me. Seriously. If you think there's something that you just totally disagreed with, awesome. Let's discuss it. Because as we talk about it, we're going to learn something from one another. So that's the beauty of being in a safe place. So in verse 9, it says this, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So this coming in and going out is the safety that we're looking for. So if you think about this, if you live in there was actually just a terrorist alert. How many people realize that the U.S. government just put out a big, huge terrorist alert? So now think about that. What that did is it shut down consulates, American consulates all across the world. American consulates are shut down. Now that's interesting. Do they feel safe? No. See, whenever there's a threat, we don't feel safe. Whenever there's a threat to your nation, you know what the first thing the government does? Shut down the borders. So picture this now. Go back to the sheep pen. So if there's a threat to you, what does the shepherd do? Get your butts in that sheep pen, and I'll protect you. Now, it's not me alone that's your protector. It's Christ. It's Jesus. He says he's the gate to your life. So the safety that Jesus brings is the knowledge you and I can take to the bank that if there's a threat coming to your life, you're secure. If something's happening in your life that you can't understand, understand that God's aware. He's not the bad shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who's always looking out for your best so you can be secure and safe. The last point is this. The benefits of entering that sheepfold. Number one, we are saved. Saved from our past. Saved from our present striving. Saved for some future amazing things. Number two, we're safe. Safety is awesome. Security. Number three is we're satisfied. Look at this. He says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. There's one thing that is absolutely essential to the success of your flock of sheep, that they have something to eat. So what Jesus is saying here is this. He's saying, I'm the gate to the sheepfold. I'm your shepherd. I will help you find everything you need to have a satisfied life. Isn't that beautiful? And what includes a satisfied life? Well, it's our prosperity, our contentment, our security, our health, our happiness. I'm going to end with this verse of scripture in Psalm chapter 23. If you have your Bible, Psalms is basically right in the middle of your Bible, a little bit to your left. This is a very cool verse. David was a king, but before David was the king of Israel, how many people know that David was a shepherd? So David is speaking as a shepherd when he's writing this. And this is what he says. It's so cool. I'm going to start in verse 1. I think we have verse 2 and 3 on PowerPoint. Psalm 23 says this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now this is King David, the great shepherd and the king of Israel. Says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Look at this in verse 2, I love this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. In verse 2, I love what it says in verse 2. If we go back to verse 2, it says this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, sometimes God makes us park for a while. And sometimes, depending on what your personality type is, I have a bit of an antsy personality type. So I'm kind of always moving. I don't really like waiting. I said to my dad the other day, I said, I don't know, I got a problem. I said, my goal is to get from A to B as quick as I can. This is how I live. Everything I do in life is like, what's the quickest way I can get this done? It's kind of crazy, actually, if I think about it. See, I'm not perfect. The Lord's working on me. Something I got to fix. But I love what he says. He says, he makes me lie down. What does that mean? He'll give you rest. Even when you think you can't rest, he'll give you rest. And where does he lie us down? Well, in green pastures. What do green pastures speak of? It speaks of everything you need. As a sheep, what do you need? Two things, food and water. Again, the picture here is that you and I are sheep. What do we need? Well, we need a little bit more than food and water. And let me say this, God is aware of everything you need. Every need you have in your life, God is aware. The great shepherd is aware. Here's the question. Are we done striving? Are we done looking for it somewhere else? Can we come to a place where we actually say, you know what, Lord? I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. I don't know what else to do. And you know what he says? Come on in. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. And you know what the hardest part of that is? I got to trust him. How do I trust him? Well, how do the sheep trust the shepherd? They get to hear his voice. So listen for his voice. So what do you mean? God's going to like shout through the rooftops at me? Probably not. If you tell me he did, I might have to get you some help. But he can speak to you through many ways. Brings people into your life. Circumstances into your life. You hear a sermon. You read something in the Bible. You read a book. You begin to hear his voice. And the thing about his voice is it's so good. And his voice is so welcoming. So if you hear another voice, this is why the Bible says, when the sheep hear another voice, that's not his voice. See, can you imagine the big city pen where there might be 10 or 15 separate flocks? This is such a cool picture. A shepherd would walk in there in the morning and say, come on, guys. And all of his sheep come out after him. Isn't that cool? And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, my sheep know my voice. So you know that wherever you are in life, you may even say this. You may say, yeah, but Randy, I hear what you're saying. That sounds good, but I've strayed from the flock. So what? Today he's calling you back. Today he's saying, come on in. Arms open wide. And let me help you. You really haven't strayed. He's got his eye on you. You think you've strayed. Come on. You think you've strayed. But how can you really stray when he's right there beside you? You say, what are you talking about? Well, the Bible says this. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says, even if you and I are faithless, he remains faithful. Come on. See, that's the assurance we have. That's the great shepherd. He says this, I will leave the 99 to go after the one who strayed. That's our great shepherd. That's the one who takes care of our soul. So when we come together in community like this in church, do you know what our job is? To love each other, to help each other, to take care of one another, scratch each other's back a little bit here and there. All the things you need can be facilitated. Now, remember this. Your faith is personal, but it's meant to be lived in community. See, the sheep were still individual sheep. The shepherd knew exactly how many sheep he had. So there were individuals within the fold, but yet it was a collective together. So understand, that's really just a little bit of a picture of church. You have individual faith. We all have individual faith. But together, we're so much stronger. Together, there's more safety. Together, there's more security. Together, there's more direction. Together, there's more hope. Last comments from Psalm chapter 23. Verse 2 says this. He makes me, I love that, lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. Isn't that good? Do you know where stress happens? In your soul, in your mind, in your heart. That's where stress happens. He says, you know what? Just come, follow me. You'll be refreshed on the inside. You know, you can look at people. The Bible says the eyes are the window to the soul. Sometimes Rachel will look at me and she'll be like, what's going on? What are you thinking about? And I'll be like, oh, because what? I haven't said anything. She just sees something. And there's other times you can look at someone and there's life. And I'm not suggesting we should always just be, oh, no, that's wacky too. Come on. Life is highs, life is lows. Life in God isn't like just weirded out like I'm in some state of awe all the time or ecstasy. That's nuts. Life is progressive. I hope my life's not like this, but I'm okay with this. You with me? Sometimes it's not as good as I want. Sometimes it's not as bad as I hoped. So it's okay to have a life like this. I'd sooner have this than pa, 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 pa. Because the drops suck, man. Come on. When you're like there and all of a sudden, boom, that sucks. So understand, this is what Jesus says. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. I love that. And he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I want to just end with that thought right there where he says, he guides me along right paths. What does that mean? Our lives are ordained by God. You're not here by accident. The people that are in your life is not an accident. It is the great shepherd leading your life. So even if there's a time right now where you can say, it's famine, man. There's nothing happening in my life. I'm broke, I'm busted, I'm disgusted. Maybe that's you today. Understand what's happening. He's leading you to something better. Don't stop and park in the desert. Let the great shepherd lead you to the pasture. See, here's the danger when we're going through tough times. We want to park in the tough time. Don't park in the tough time. Go through the tough time. Come on. Turn to your neighbor and say, go through the tough time. And listen, there will always be tough times. The Bible says this. The Bible says, the troubles. Here's what I'm going to really encourage you this morning. You ready? The troubles of life come to everybody. Just grab that little promise from God's word. That one's mine. But think about that. Isn't that crazy? But the Bible is real. God is not trying to trick us. He's not trying to say, come follow me and your life will be bliss. He never says that. He says, come follow me. I'll feed you. I'll water you. I'll bring you refreshing. I'll restore your soul. And I'm going to lead you through the hard times no matter what. That's the God we serve. That's the God who today is saying to each and every one of us, come on in. Don't worry about cleaning yourself up. Come on in. Don't worry about that you stink. Come on in. Go ahead, bow your head, close your eyes for me. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you, Father, that you are the great shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. Wow. That is just amazing to hear that. You are the great shepherd of our souls. So, Father, today, right here, there's multitudes of souls. So, Father, we come to you. Some of us come to you, Lord God, and we feel like, nah, it's not for me. There's some of us here today, Lord, say, we don't deserve it. We're a mess. I just give me a month, and I'm going to clean myself up, and then I'm going to do it. Don't fall into that religious trap. And there's others who of us who are here today, and we look at our lives, and we say, you know what? I don't deserve this. I haven't been good enough. I haven't been right. I haven't been pure. I haven't been holy. You know what Jesus says? Come. Just as you are, come. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question this morning. Will you accept his invitation to come? I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to accept my invitation. I'm asking you to accept Jesus' invitation to come. With every head bowed, eye closed, if you'd like to say, yeah, Randy, you know what? I want to accept his invitation to come. Just quickly put your hand up just so I can see it and then put it back down. I see those hands. I see those hands all over. Go ahead, put them back down. So here's what we're going to do. That great shepherd Jesus is lying across and he's the gate. And there's one way in and that's through him. So let's pray this prayer together. If you put your hand up, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. If you didn't put your hand up, can you pray this prayer with me for the sake of those who put their hand up? Everybody, just please repeat these words after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your son. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, for dying on a cross for me. I thank you, Lord, that I deserve death, but you gave me life. I thank you, Lord, that you are the gate. And I thank you, Lord, that today I choose to come in. Thank you for welcoming me with open arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody look up here. If you prayed that prayer today, I'll tell you something. You just made a decision that is powerful. You made a decision that's amazing. Because you know what? He loves you, man. He cares about you. He has a plan for your life that you just may never even believe possible. That's the God we serve. That is the great shepherd of our souls. He has a plan for you. And do never, ever, ever let a false voice come into your life and say, you know what, I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy. Hey, you don't have to convince me. I know you're not worthy because I'm not worthy. It's not about who's worthy and who's not worthy. It's about what Christ has done. It's about what the great shepherd has done, who is the gate to that sheepfold. That's the one who's worthy. He's worthy. And if he says, I'm worthy, come as I am, then all I need to do is come as I am. Amen? Let's give the Lord a great big clap this morning as Donna comes.
I got to move back a little bit. That was fantastic. That was such a good message this morning.